Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
And I got home last night and it hit me what I'm preaching on. And again, providence, surviving the storm. In the book of Acts, chapter 27, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner. And he is set to appear before Caesar in Rome. But in order for him to arrive in Rome, he must enter through the sea by way of ship with many other prisoners. As he departs in his destination for Italy, we find in the context that a man by the name of Julius, a centurion, is assigned over him and many others. And they set sail. And as they set sail, evidently, we learn from the context that the Apostle Paul, as they come into Sidon, is found favor in Julius' sight to where he is able to leave and to go be with his friends, that the Scripture tells us that he might find care. Evidently, Paul took to sailing the way that I do. And maybe he got a little seasick. Maybe there were some other things going on. But we learn in all of this is that Paul had demonstrated himself as a trustworthy individual. And by all means, he was demonstrating a Christ-like attitude even whenever he is being wrongfully accused for standing for our Lord. As we look to the context then, we see is that they depart from Sidon and they go on. And as they come unto Myra, then they are going on to an Alexandrian ship where that it is set to go on to Italy. But yet at the same time, the Scripture identifies is that they encountered difficulty along the way. And the Apostle Paul, as you go down to verse 9, he identifies that after much time of their sailing in dangerous waters. In verse 10 he says, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster and with much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but," he says, "also of our lives." He's speaking those words to those who are in charge of him, as well as in the presence of the captain of the ship, if you would. But yet at the same time, it's interesting in this context that the helmsman and the owner of the ship advised those who were over the prisoners that they wanted to go on. And a part of that factors into the idea that winter was getting ready to set in and it was not wise for them to remain there in this place during that time frame. So therefore, they go on and their journey to Rome. And as they set sail then again, verse 14 identifies to us, "But not long after, a tempestuous, hard headwind arose." And this would be comparable to what you and I would know today as a nor'easter. And living in the Northeast, I'm acquainted to that whenever it meant snow. Is that it meant that you were going to get a lot of wind and it meant that you were going to get a lot of precipitation, and if the temperature was cold enough, it was really going to be a deep snow. Well, in this, the temperature is warm enough to where it's going to be rain and it's going to toss the sea to and fro. And the Scripture tells us in this context that these individuals lost control of the ship and they secured down everything that they could secure and they began to fear for their lives. Probably, as I was reading from this context again even this morning, I couldn't help but think, were they rethinking? And it's too late now, but were they rethinking what it is that the Apostle Paul had told them over the fact that not only would they lose the ship, but they would lose their lives? They go on, the Bible tells us, to lighten the load. And friends, understand that this is not a storm that brewed for a day or two, but the Scripture tells us that for many days, these people were not able to see the sun and the stars. In fact, the Scripture also identifies to us is that they had given up all hope. They had turned everything over and just said, you know, it's going to go wherever it goes. And their greatest fear is that it would run aground and that the ship would fall apart and then they would perish as a result of that. The Bible goes on to tell us, though, that God had other plans. In verse 23, Paul says that there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve. The reason that Paul has confidence now and is revealing these things is because he understands that he serves a mighty God and that God is going to be able to deliver them. And that God identifies to him in this vision is that they're going to, by all means, lose the cargo. They're going to lose the ship. But friends, God also reveals unto the Apostle Paul is that not a life on that ship is going to be lost. None of them are going to perish. And that's important as you read on in the context in verse 37. There is 276 people in all on this ship. As you read on in the context, the Scripture identifies that after 14 nights, 14 long nights of dealing with a storm, not knowing where you're going, not knowing if you're going to survive, the Scripture identifies is that they were able to sense in some form or fashion that there was land near. And yet at the same time, they still had this fear burning within them that they would run aground and that the ship would fall apart. And friends, that is exactly what God wanted to happen. As you read from the context of the Scripture, we learn is that they are near the land of Malta. And as the ship goes on in towards the land, then each one of them is commissioned by God to go overboard, if you would, and to swim ashore. And Paul and the company did exactly as what God expected them to do. And as a result of that, not a single life perished. In fact, if you read on in Acts chapter 26, Paul and his company are able to go on with the proclamation of God's message, surviving the storm. How were they able to survive the storm, and what lessons can you and I learn and take and to apply to our lives today? Well, to begin with, I want to explore the realities that we find in life. Every person faces storms throughout the course of this life. The Bible tells us that man's days are few and full of trouble. And probably the older we get, the more that we understand that. In this life, we face times of sickness and when we don't feel good with the common cold. That's bad enough. But sometimes it even gets worse than that. People face illnesses and those illnesses sometimes lead to death. And those things can be very challenging to us. Others who aren't dealing with sickness and illness, maybe they're dealing with financial struggles, multiple issues in their life, and these things can weigh a person down. In fact, I contend this morning as I stand before you that these storms can either make or break us. Storms in life, they cause us great pain and even grief to where we weep out. And there's nothing wrong with that because God has created us with emotions. And God has created us with a fashion so that we would care and that we would have concern whenever we're facing things in life or whenever others are going through storms in their life. Friends, also it can drive to depression and it can cause people to question, even people of faith, to question God and even cause them to walk away from God. But you see, God looks at the storms in life in a different fashion than what a lot of people in the world look at them. And He wants you and me as His children to look or to view them in the same manner as He does. He wants the storms in life to strengthen us, to make us a stronger person in this world. But also, He wants those storms that we go through in life to make us wiser. There may be times that we've gone through trials and challenges in life that we didn't handle it so well. And God says, you know, with this situation, you're going to learn something. And therefore, as we learn, we become wiser and understand is that it's only for a moment that we're going through these trials. And yet at the same time, while it might seem eternal, God is there with us to work with us to help us through whatever it is that we're facing. And friends, in all, God expects, God wants so much for these storms that we face to help to build our faith. You see, God understands all of the trials that we go through in this life. God is universal. We live in this world and we think on a local level, if you're like me anyway. We think about here where we are. And God's not like that. God thinks much bigger than what we are because God sees everything from a universal standpoint. He sees all that is going on in the world. But you know what is very special and important for us to point out this morning is that God sees us individually, what it is that we're going through in our life. He realizes not only the trial that we're going through, but friends, He also sees how it affects us. How does He know those things? Through Jesus Christ in a very personal way. Whenever Jesus lived here upon the face of the earth, He went through trials, storms in life. And as we look to the way in which He faced these trials, He faced moments of pain, He faced moments of grief, of anguish. But yet at the same time, friends, as we look to these things, we know that we serve a God who loves us. And while we go through things in life, He has an end to those moments. And I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Here's what Peter says by way of inspiration. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God says there are brighter days. God says that there is a blessing by going through the various storms or trials that we face in life. He says that we will indeed come out stronger if we will maintain our belief, our faith in Him and trust in Him through the trials. You see, as Christians, I believe that our troubles serve as a reminder for us. You say, reminder of what? A reminder that this life is only temporary. That we're only going to be here for a little time, and then we're going on into the eternal realm. And as Christians, what a blessing that is to know that we will go on before Jesus comes. If we die, we go on into a paradise, into the Hadean realm, paradise to receive comfort. As we know that that's where Marianne is, and we rejoice for her while our hearts grieve our loss. We rejoice over her gain, knowing that she's gone on to a reward. So life teaches us that it's temporary, but also is that this life is an avenue into eternity. And God expects us to keep those things in mind as we're going through the storms of life. Our survival is imperative. As Christians, we must maintain our faith and our trust in God in order for us to be able not only to overcome the storm, but also for us to be able someday to dwell eternally in heaven with our God. How can we do these things? Friends, we must expect the possibility of storms in our lives. We must be mentally prepared for the storm. Sometimes we get caught up in life and we look to things that people are going through and we say, well, I feel for them. And we're grateful that it's not us, but at the same time, do we stop and really think that it could be us? It's somebody else today. But at the same time, it's only a matter of time until we go through something similar or the same thing. Or maybe even something worse. And in this, God wants us to be realist. He wants us to realize the reality that storms are a part of life. But friends, also I believe that God wants us, He expects us to consider the ways in which we will respond to the trials that we have. And I'm not talking about weeping. I said a minute ago, weeping, crying, all that's God-given. But will we allow the storms of life to tear us down or to build us up? Will we allow the storms of life to motivate us to stronger faith and service in the kingdom? Or will we allow those things to to pull us away from God. You see, God expects each of us to prepare ourselves mentally for the storms. Our faith in the Lord does not exempt us from problems. I wish it did sometimes, but it does not. And I read in the context of Scripture of others that I think is much greater. I pale in comparison to these individuals. The Apostle Paul in this context, but not only in this context, did he face a literal storm. And going through all the emotions that were tied to this storm on that ship. But you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 12, the many things that this man suffered for his faith, for his work and service in the kingdom of God. And friends, if he went through those things, then by all means I and each and every one of us shouldn't think that we are any different. I also think of what Paul said to Timothy. He says, all those who live godly in this present age will suffer persecution. I wish I had a dollar for every time Mary Ann quoted that verse to me. We will all suffer persecution in this life. And Paul had faced it, and Paul wanted Timothy, it's real, it's going to happen. Expect the unexpected, because in reality it's going to be there. The first century saints, constantly they were going through storms in life, and in all, what is it that kept them going? What is it that even seemed to motivate them to live closer to God? It's the fact that God remained with them in their trials. And today, I want to press upon our thoughts is that God remains with us in our trials. He promised us in the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world, to the end of the age. God is with us through the things that we face. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Hebrews writer exclaims very emphatically, he says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always there with us through the things that we are going to face in life, or maybe that we're facing in life. And friends, while expecting the unexpected or expecting storms won't necessarily make them go away, this preparation makes it more doable. Because we're always then thinking to ourselves, life is good now, but tomorrow it may not be. You see, I think that it's imperative for us to remind ourselves of the promises of God. In essence, isn't that what Paul does in this? I mean, he says it before everyone. He says, I believe that what God has promised is what will take place. I mean, everyone heard what he said, but he first had to internalize that, didn't he? God wants us to remind ourselves of the promises that He makes to us in life. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, Abraham reminds himself of what God had promised him. Continually we find people of faith, we find New Testament Christians reminding themselves of the promises that God had made unto them. It's a mental thing to where it's always in the mind then, to where not only do we see it, but then we express it outwardly. This reminder ought to encourage us. It ought to encourage us to live closer to God. It ought to build us up emotionally, as well as to help us then physically, but also to build us up in a spiritual way, to where we say, you know, no matter what it is that I face in life, my faith and my trust in God will keep on growing and keep on leading me beyond this life into an eternal reward that I have in heaven with my God. As Paul, we need to believe God whenever he says that I'm going to help you through no matter what. And friends, in faith, we are able to survive the storms. But then also, I believe from this context, we learn that we must expedite God's plan in complete obedience. we must do exactly as God expects us to do. Paul knew that the ship was going to suffer loss. And Paul knew that he was going to have to get in that water. And friends, we're not talking about jumping in a swimming pool where the water's calm. We're talking about jumping in a sea. We're talking about jumping in water where it has been raging for 14 nights, where you've not been able to see the sun, where you've not been able to see the stars, where you're not able to gather your bearings, and you're going to fight those winds, you're going to fight those waves, and yet at the same time, because God expected him to do it, that's exactly what this man did. Paul listened to God. He believed in God and he obeyed God. And in like figure, we must do likewise. There is no reason to question God. Why? Because if we question, it might blind us from the path or from the escape even that God has prepared for us. And it will indeed present challenges, because that's what Satan wants. Satan wants us not to be able to see beyond the storm. He wants us to think that the storm is going to encompass us to the point to where it's going to overwhelm us and destroy us. But God says, trust in me and you shall survive. You see, God works through our storms to help us not only to survive, but friends, also to make us stronger. And patience in obedience is very vital to our survival. Patience in obedience is very vital for our survival. We need to be patient and wait on the Lord. And it might be a day or two that we go through a trial. It might be 14 days and nights. Keep into the context that we go through a trial. It might be a year. It might be half, or it might be all of our life that we face trials. But patience in obedience is vital for our survival. But you see, God also tells us that we need to experience the peace that only God can provide. God doesn't always take the storm away. He didn't take it away here in this context. The clouds did not lift for these sailors to be able to see the land and to be able to go on. But what we do find is that God was there in the midst of the darkness. God was there while the waves were raging from the winds. God was there to help these individuals as He has expressed He was going to be through the Apostle Paul, as well as in the assurance now that these individuals should have from Jehovah God that no one is going to perish. He didn't say that it was going to be easy, but He says you're going to be able to go through it no matter what. Well, what changed? What happened? Friends, it was a change that happened from within. We've read in this context, there were moments. Let me rephrase that. There were hours on top of hours where they must have been filled with anxiety, where they were filled with much fear. What happened to that? I don't read it here in the latter part of chapter 27. Why? Because their fears have been changed to that peace that surpasses all understanding. Trusting and relying in God to see us through the storm is essential. You see, today our hope, as with Paul and many others in the first century, resides in God. We will go through many things in this life. It's a given. Some of them will be a blessing in the fact that it will bring great joy to our lives. Other things will be a trial that is meant to strengthen us. for our service here in this world, but also to strengthen our faith, that we might live closer to God and serve Him more faithfully, so that someday we will be able to dwell eternally in heaven with Him when this life is no more. Are you dealing with a storm today? If you are, and you want us to pray for you privately, and we don't know that you're going through it, tell us and we'll pray for you. Are you going through a storm today also because you're outside of the body of Christ? The world's pulling at you, but yet at the same time your heart's being pulled and saying, you know, I need to make that decision. I need to obey the Lord today. If you are not a Christian, we want to encourage you that the Christian life is what life is really and truly all about. Becoming a Christian will lift your burdens. It doesn't mean that life will be easy, but it means that you will have God on your side, and it means that you will have this church family to help you through the trials that you face. How do you become a Christian? By confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God and submitting yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that you might be raised from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. It may also be that we have members of the church here who have strayed in some way. You may be carrying burdens, that burden of sin, once again. We will pray with you and for you if you're subject to the invitation as well.